Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
You may be seated. All the mothers in the room, happy Mother's Day. I hope your day has started off wonderful, like you woke up, all the kids were behaving, no one cried, no one yelled, no one backtalked. You had breakfast waiting for you on the table, gift cards and flowers, right? I wish, Pastor Luke. Happy Mother's Day, moms, you really do make the world go round, and we're thankful for you. We really are. Do you love to hear God's stories? For a church full of God-loving people, that was weak. Do you love to hear God's stories, church? He's so good. 2 weeks ago to the day, we baptized a lady by the name of Nina Harper. Y'all remember that? After service, down here, we prayed for Nina's healing. Nina was in desperate need of a liver transplant. We found out the day in which we prayed for her that she was placed on the list to receive a new liver. Last Sunday, we're not done yet. Last Sunday, while we were preaching, she was rushed to the hospital for an emergency liver transplant. Amen? Incredible. Happy to report she's doing really, really well. God hears when we pray. Do you believe it? He really does hear. So continue to pray for her and her healing, that her body would accept and everything would continue to go well for Miss Nina. But this is a sweet time around the church this time of year. Baby dedication, seniors graduating. Sorry to talk about that on Mother's Day. But this past Wednesday, we honored them in student ministry. This coming Sunday, we're going to honor them. 22 seniors graduating here at Holland Chapel. It's an awesome class. Good times. Yep. And yesterday, we had the privilege of watching all those parents bring those babies. I think 12, 13 babies dedicated to the Lord yesterday. And we as a church today got to pray for them. It was just a sweet, special time this time of year. So God's good. He's doing incredible things. And today, we're going to finish our sermon series called Joseph Finding Hope. Has it been a blessing to you, church? Has his story challenged you? Has his story blessed you? Have you seen God's goodness in his story? Today is no different. Today is no different at all. If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. Finding hope in God's sovereignty. Finding hope in God's sovereignty. Do you believe that God is sovereign? That's a big word, right? It's a word we don't perhaps say enough, and we should. What does sovereign mean? Sovereign simply means, if I can describe it to you simply, is that God is supreme. God is over everything. Everything is in His hands. Do you remember that song as a child? He's got the whole world. You remember? Put your hands out. Come on, church. He's got the whole world in His hands, right? He's a sovereign God, and He is over everything. It's really important today that we believe that, we embrace that, we see that on the pages of Scripture. What I want to do, forgive me for the speed in which we are going to read these, but if you are a note taker or someone that takes pictures of the screen, like you have to be quick. We're gonna read some Scripture that tells of the sovereignty and the supremacy of our God. The first one is Psalm 115, verse 3. It says, our God is in the heavens, and He does as He wishes. Do you believe that? First Chronicles 29, 11, and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Job 42, verse 2. I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. If you've never read all of Job chapter 42, I encourage you to do so. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. How many have found that out? Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there, he rules over what, church? Everything. Romans 11, 33. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. God is sovereign. God is over everything. I want to re-ask the question, do you believe that, Holland Chapel? He is over it all, and he is supreme. I hope as we have made our way through this story, Joseph's story, that you've picked up on God's sovereignty along the way. Perhaps in each particular message we have spoken to it, mentioned of it, but today we're really going to look at it and what happened in his story. But as the truths of Joseph's story were unfolded and we got to see the picture of God's sovereignty, however, did not change what had to happen to Joseph. Like he still had to experience the highs, and he still had to experience the lows. The same is true for our lives. Like we have to go through all that we are going through. God's sovereignty doesn't change what we have to go through. It just means that he's over everything that we have to go through. Is that making sense? Like God is over our lives. God was over Joseph's life, and he's over ours. But what if we didn't have the story of Joseph? Like, what if we didn't have the completion of the story of Joseph? What if we didn't have all the stories in Scripture that point to God's sovereignty? We wouldn't have any hope, would we? We wouldn't have hope that God is, as Romans says, working everything out for our good, those that love him, right? That we wouldn't have that hope, but we do have the hope. We have a hope because we see Joseph's story, and as today, as we bring it to completion, we can see the big picture. We can see what God's doing. We can see God's faithfulness. We can see his goodness, but it's tough right now, isn't it, church, for you? It's tough right now when we're dealing with everything that we have to deal with. It's really tough to see the end game, isn't it? But just because we can't see the end game doesn't mean that God is not over our current circumstance, and doesn't mean that God's not good, because he's good and he's sovereign and he's over it. But God's sovereign over our lives. And I'm so thankful that we have stories like Joseph so that we can see that God really is working everything out for his children. There's a couple truths that we can gain from the conclusion of his story. There's a couple things that his sovereignty tells us. And what I want to do is I want to just go over two things with you today, make it real simple, about how the sovereignty of God can give us hope in our life. The first thing that I want you to write down is this: God knows what happened to you. Let's say that again. God knows, God sees what has happened to you. God knows, God sees what is going to happen to you. He knows. Have you ever been hurt? I'm not talking like pushed down on the playground hurt. I'm talking hurt. You ever been lied to? Ever been betrayed? Ever been backstabbed? Joseph has. He's been through all of those things. And what we see in Joseph's story is that he still remained hope-filled, regardless of what happened to him. Last week we ended in the part of the story where Joseph's brothers had returned to Egypt the second time, kind of having to face the music for the sins in which they've committed. I want you to go to Genesis 45. That's where we're going to pick up today. And we can see how God knew what happened to Joseph. We're going to read 1 through 8, Genesis 45. So his brothers are back there in front of him. And here we are. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, "Out, all of you." So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. I bet they were. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset. And don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more, and there will be neither plowing or harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt." I challenge you to read the story of Joseph in completion from start to finish and not be overwhelmed with emotion at this point in the story. Can you imagine? I can't. I try. Can you imagine what he was feeling? Can you imagine the emotions that he was dealing with? And then can you imagine the emotions of the brothers? Scripture says they were speechless. They were stunned. They were shocked. That right here, in this moment, God was revealing everything. What had happened in darkness was now being revealed in light. The story was coming full circle. God was demonstrating his goodness to Joseph, his mighty hand to the brothers, and he was revealing himself in the story. But I want you to catch something here, a really precious part of the story. Joseph looks at his brothers. Keep in mind all the things you see in the history books, the way the Egyptians rulers looked, that was Joseph, okay? He didn't have the coat of many colors on at this point, regardless of what you think the felt board told you. Like, he didn't have it on. Like, he was dressed like an Egyptian. He looked crazy, okay? He looked like one of them. And so his brothers had no idea who he was. So he says, "Come closer." And in the original language, it's like to come into for an embrace or a hug. Like, they were right here. "It's me, your brother, Joseph." Do you remember 90s kids? There's a movie called Hook, Robin Williams. Do you remember that? What a classic. Peter Pan, right? Like, it was a classic. There's a scene. Go ahead and show it on the screen. Do y'all remember this? Do you remember this? Oh, Robin Williams, the old businessman, he gets thrown into Neverland, and they're like, who is this guy? This can't be Peter Pan. And then right here in this moment, so profound in the movie, this little boy comes up to Robin Williams, and he starts to move his face around, and he's like, you are the Pan. You remember that? I love the movie. Give me a break. God. This is what's happening in this moment. Like, Luke, how dare you degrade the story of Joseph to Hook? This is what's happening. He says, come here. It's me, Joseph. And did you notice what he says in the story? I really need you to pick up on it. He says, don't be upset. Don't even be mad at yourselves. Wow. What? You see, Joseph was so in tune with God's goodness, with God's sovereignty, that he could forgive his brothers. Somebody needs to hear this today. Because God is sovereign, you can forgive that person. You can let it go. Because he is sovereign, you can forgive. How? Because whatever it was that happened to you was under the control of a supreme sovereign God. Joseph looks at his brothers and he says, I think four times over the next few passages that we see here, is that God, it was God that put me in prison. It was God that sold me to slavery. It was God that made me an advisor to Pharaoh. It was God that placed me here to preserve life. It was God. You see what Joseph was doing? He was saying it was all God. Like, don't be mad at yourself. Like, I'm here. I had to go through everything I had to go through because it was God. And because it was God, I can forgive you. I can let you off the hook. I can forgive. So, child of God, please hear me. You can forgive whatever hurt, whatever pain, as horrible as it may have been, you can forgive because God is sovereign. God knows and he sees you. You see, bitterness and anger and all those emotions were removed from his heart because he trusted in the sovereignty of God. And child of God, you can move on today. You can forgive. You can be freed of that bitterness and that anger by trusting in the sovereignty of an almighty God. And I want to take it a step further. You can move on in life with whatever it is that you're dealing with. You may not have been hurt by a person. Maybe you're dealing with an illness, a sickness. You name it. Well, whatever it is, whatever trial that you're dealing with in life, you can put one foot in front of the other because God is sovereign. Like, God's over your life. And I ask it at the beginning of the message, like, if you believe that God is sovereign, if you really believe that God is sovereign and over your life, you can move on, you can forgive, you can keep going in life because you know that a good God is over it all, even the bad. Like even the bad times, which brings us to our second thought for today. That you can forgive, you can move on, you don't have to deal with it because God means it for good. I want you to write it down. He means it for good. I'm not even going to pretend like this is not a difficult one to process. Like, I understand how this could be tough to process. How can God mean it for good? Well, we see it four times. Joseph said it. It was God, it was God, it was God, it was God. We have to talk about it for a moment. Some would read this story and go, that doesn't seem like a good God to me. That doesn't seem like a good God who would let that little boy come over the hill and his brothers try to murder him and sell him to slavery and imprison him and lose over a quarter of his life? Doesn't seem like a good God. But do you trust that it is a good God? Joseph did. So much so that he could say, it wasn't you, brothers, that put me here. It was God. God means it for good. What seems like an evil or an injustice to us could very much be a part of God's sovereign plan for us. And that's a tough one to comprehend. That's a tough one to wrestle with. That's a tough one to process. But I need you to hear me. Just because God is sovereign over evil does not make God evil. I'm going to say that again. I need you to get it. Just because God is sovereign over evil does not make our God evil. Do you understand that, Holland Chapel? Like, are you processing that? Because so many times in life, we think, well, God's cruel. Like, God's evil. How could this happen to me? Oh, listen to me. God's not evil. God's sovereign over everything. He does not lose sight of you just because bad things happen to you. It's a part of a good God's plan. God is not evil. Psalm 5:4, O God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. James 1:13, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do what, church? Wrong. And he never tempts anyone else. John 1:5, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. God's not evil. God's not evil. God does not mean it for evil. He means it for good. That's what gets him off the hook. Does that make sense? God's over it. And he means everything for our good. And he's good, every ounce of him. But in our fallen world, church, a sin-filled world, evil exists. And there's no doubt that Satan is powerful. But Satan cannot function without a mighty God allowing him to. Can't happen. But I need you to hear this. Evil is not a thing. Evil's not a created thing. When God created the earth, he created everything and said, it is very, what, church? Good. So evil's not created. Evil is a perversion of what God has created. Evil is the perversion of a perfect creation. So when sin entered the world, therefore things that were intended for good are now perverted, and then we get evil. Does that make sense? Like God did not author, did not create evil. It's the twisting of what he did create. Therefore, he can be over it all. He is a holy God. Sin into the world, we know that. And the book of Job describes the interaction between God, man, and Satan so very well. Job 1, verse 12. He says, all right, you may test him. The Lord said to Satan, do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. Why? Why would a good God permit this to Job? I need you to hang on to this. It was for his good. It was for Job's good. And if you don't believe me, read Job chapter 42. And you'll see that God restored him. God brought back twice what he had before. Like, God's good. Like, it was for his good. And that's what's so hard for children of God to process when we are dealing with the difficult. And I'm not here this morning. Please hear me out. I'm not here to diminish the pain, the hurt, whatever it is that you are dealing with. Do you hear that? Like, I'm not diminishing that. But what separates children of God from the world is that we have hope in a holy God, that everything that we are dealing with is for our benefit. Do you believe that, church? Like, it's for our good. Like, God is sovereign, and he is good, and he's working everything out for our benefit. Even what seems like evil, he's working out for our benefit. Brief recap. I want you to jump over to chapter 50 in Genesis. I know we've skipped a lot here. I want you to read the story in completion. We simply don't have time. But what we see here in these five chapters that we are skipping over is that God restored a dysfunctional family. Remember sermon one? God restored it. God used Joseph to preserve the family. He moved all the families from Canaan into Egypt, set them up, like really, really treated them very nicely. And so what we see here in chapter 50 is that Jacob had passed. I want you to go to verse 14. We're going to read through 21. Jacob, the father, had passed. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him, they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? Are you ready? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for what, church? Good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Wow. Do you see the perspective that Joseph had? We need to be careful how we quote Genesis 50:20. It's really important that you see the word intended or meant. Joseph said, what you intended or what you meant for evil, God intended for what, church? Good. So many times we say, what you meant for evil, God ultimately used for good. And what we are saying is that God is not present in the evil, that somehow God has to come in after the fact and make good of what was bad. And that takes God out of a situation. God is never out of the situation. He's always over everything, intending it for our good. Are you with me, church? He's there, and he's meaning it for good. Joseph had this ingrained in his heart that God is meaning all of this for my good, and not just my good, brothers, but for your good and the good of many other people. You see the big picture that he had? So I need you to have that big picture today. I need you to fully process, and I know it's tough, that whatever it is that you are going through, God means it for good. Hang on to it. Hang on to it. You may not see it today. You may not see it tomorrow. But God means it for good. One of the greatest stories of God using evil and harm and pain and sin to bring about good is the story of our Savior Jesus. God had to orchestrate the acts of evil men to bring Jesus to the cross to forgive us of our sins. Acts chapter 4, 27 through 28. In fact, this has happened here in this very city for Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. What did they do? Herod mocked Jesus. Pontius Pilate was a coward. The Gentile soldiers pierced him with a spear. The Israelite crowds shouted, "Crucify him." God used all the wickedness in the story to bring our Savior to the cross. And the people of God said, "Amen." Like God orchestrates everything to bring about his supreme will, good and bad, because God is good. And now we have Jesus. Now we have a Savior. That was a part of his plan. So what's the hope in that for you and I? God is working everything out for our good. And because of what happened to Jesus, because of what God had to do to get Jesus on the cross, you and I now have eternal hope in Christ Jesus. We have eternal hope. Isaiah 53, 9, first part of verse 10. He had done no wrong, and he had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him. Did you hear that? It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. That had to happen for us to have Jesus. I don't understand it. I can't fully comprehend it. But God uses the trials in our lives for our good, at the very same time bringing about our deliverance in Jesus Christ. So you have hope this morning, child of God, that whatever it is that you are dealing with, that the Savior that loves you knows exactly what you've been through. The Savior that died for you knows exactly the pain that you are feeling. The Savior that died for you can relate to you. And because of what happened on the cross, you can place your faith and trust in him and receive everlasting hope in Jesus Christ. Will you believe? Let me pray for you. God, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the hope that we have in your Son. God, as we looked at the story of your servant, Joseph, stand in awe and amazed at the life that he lived and the faith that he had, and how he was so mistreated. So much harm and pain and hurt came to him. That in that moment, he could say, "Don't even be mad at yourself, because God meant it for good." God, I pray that we as your children could have that perspective, that whatever life throws at us, we would be able to say, "They meant for evil, you meant for good." God, thank you for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for that eternal plan that you had before the foundations of the earth to bring about the redemption of sin through Jesus Christ. Thank you for him. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. We ask everything in his precious and holy name. Amen.